The sisters of Lazarus sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." And when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, he will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." And Martha said, I know he'll rise in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." He became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" And so they said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loves him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, the stone lay across, and Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there'll be a stench. He's been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him. Let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. And so the gospel of the Lord. The church offers us a choice of gospels during the Lenten season. The yearly cycle of readings tells the story of a woman caught in adultery, but for faith communities preparing people for baptism, we have even more compelling story of the raising of Lazarus. This story brings together the love that Jesus has for his friends and the call to life, which is at the very heart of the Christian message. "Master, the one you love is ill." And Jesus responds, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." The attraction of this gospel is intensified for me as I am surrounded by the values of our present global culture, with its stress on wealth, power, its studied indifference toward the individual, and all things spiritual. This apprehension was emphasized for me in one of the detective stories that I read for recreation. The author was politically correct, according to the latest fashion. All sexual orientations were placed on the very same level, and this was presented as the highest form of morality. Sexual expression, of course, of almost any sort was advocated, as long as it was done in style and good taste. I suppose one can put up with such adolescent cravings, but the truly disturbing part of the story was that there was not a hint of spiritual values or an ultimate sense of direction in the story. Perhaps you are also sickened by the studied lack of a spiritual dimension in our popular culture and in the media. There's a missing frame of reference without which even the most exciting tale loses its grip and tumbles into random conjecture. Truth, beauty, and even the storyteller's skill need to be grounded in something more enduring than the fashions of global culture. While people today appear to be brighter than ever, exceptionally skillful, There's a vast dullness and ignorance when it comes to the spiritual and religious matters. While many religious and spiritual customs and behaviors need to be reformed and updated, as we're electing a pope during these days, we're certainly aware of that, there's an absence of the purpose and meaning for life itself. Once again, we need to spend time with fundamental questions. Here, I'd want to explore the possibilities and the thrust of life itself. It's not that the focus of our Christian faith is wrong. It's simply too small. The living Word of God challenges our imaginations to live in a world that is big enough to be an adequate reflection of the vast complexity and beauty of human beings everywhere on earth. And in the thrust and direction of our lives, the living Word connects us even now with the glory of our life in God. I fail to anticipate this life in glory when I become too preoccupied with my own small comforts and failures and point of view. I vacillate between the small rewards that my efforts deserve and the vastness, the beauty, the excitement of life in Christ. The momentum of our Lenten observance allows us to discover and celebrate the full expression of our calling in Christ. We build on the discovery of the perfect mercy of God found in the story of the prodigal son. Then with the raising of Lazarus and even the personal expression of love by Jesus for his dear friend, we gain a more complete understanding of our own call, our forgiveness, and the fulfillment of our lives in God. Not every prayer tradition takes advantage of this, but because today is also the feast of St. Patrick, I want to place before you the almost ecstatic prayer forms of the Irish tradition. Given the journey we have been on, these surprising prayers evoke our newly discovered familiarity with God and the spiritual and confidence we're beginning to know as we advance in this marvelous sense of union with the very life of God itself. As a prodigal son is forgiven and enters into his true inheritance, as Lazarus is summoned back into life, so we enter these experiences and give expression to these words of prayerful affection that give voice from within our souls to our growing awareness of our encounter with God even now. I've chosen the lorica, or the breastplate, of St. Patrick to serve as an introduction to this elevated form of prayer. Hopefully, it will lead us to voicing our own words of joyful recognition of the revelation of the very life of God that is being given to us and takes place right now in these Lenten days. Although called the breastplate or lorica of St. Patrick, the earliest written form dates from the 9th century. Originally, the prayer form replaced pagan incantations. And based on strong Irish tradition of prayer in memorized form, we may attribute this glorious prayer to the time and tradition, perhaps even the person of St. Patrick. Given my Irish roots and my cautious guilt-induced prayers, it's what a joy it is to repeat these ecstatic words of praise which liberate the soul and bind us to the highest beauty of God. I bind to myself today the strong power and invocation of the Trinity, the faith of the Trinity in unity, the Creator of the universe. And so the prayer continues, and we assume a vantage point of God as we are bound with the acts of our redemption in the experiences of Jesus, his baptism, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, coming in judgment. The prayer explores the fullness of creation, the dangers of life, the glories of our affectionate companionship with God, as we make God's experiences, God's point of view, our own, and do so with the most simple and homely and accessible experiences. If you find this sort of prayer helpful, you can explore the Celtic way of prayer in its gentle beauty, And as it likens us and links us with the very mystery of God. This is not a whimpering, guilty prayer, but a glorious act of affirmation, of union with God, in the full splendor of God's revelation, and in the profound joy over all of His creation. We bind ourselves today to the mercy and new life of the very God of glory. Happy feast day.